Well, good morning. Welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. We are the one, 95.1 FM. And, of course, for over 50 years, KYMN 1080 AM radio from downtown Northfield, Minnesota. Well, are you at work right now? Are you one of those individuals that gets the day off because it is President's Day 2019? This is the 18th day of February, and we have sunshine outside today. And welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair. Interesting person in studio that I want you to meet. And he goes by the name of David Estill. David, welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair.
Thank you.
And we are going to let people know that you're David number two over on Water Street, correct?
That I am. I'm the new David at Grundhoffer and Lutescher.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. So you're a young man. You must be a relatively new attorney.
Yes, I am a newly minted attorney as of last fall in Minnesota.
Wow.
But yeah, this is I've done plenty of work throughout law school, and now I'm ready to truly throw myself into practice here in the Northfield community.
And who did you clerk for in the past?
So, haven't clerked for a judge. I've come by way, actually, of Arizona, where I clerked for a public defender's office down in Tucson, Arizona. So, that's where I went to law school, and I ended up clerking for an office there.
So, are you from Arizona originally?
No, I've come here by way of Georgia, actually.
Oh.
I grew up in Georgia, but my family is from the Midwest, so I've always envisioned myself coming back here, being part of this community.
E-S-T-L-E, Estill.
Yes, that's
and,
correct.
What, you say your family's from the Midwest. What part of the Midwest?
They all come from Ohio, originally, so.
I'd call that the Mideast.
Yeah, that's what I understand. Okay. I remember when I came here to go to college, people corrected me that Ohio wasn't truly part of the Midwest anymore, and
no.
I was truly now had inserted myself into the Midwest.
And what Great Lakes is Ohio connected to?
They've got Erie up above.
The Erie?
Yeah.
Now, is that water rusty?
So I was actually born in Toledo, Ohio, so right on it, and it's actually pretty beautiful there. There's some nice spots
there.
Well,
you know I'm suggesting the Rust Belt.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to learn all about that and how you ended up in Lutescher's office. And by the way, David is a good friend of mine, and he is a person that served our community well so far as a member of the Northfield City Council. And in other efforts in making Northfield a great place to live. I just want you to know that. Has he introduced you to the quarterback club yet?
He has not, but he's introduced me to the Northfield Chamber of Commerce and Tourism.
Mm-hmm.
He's introduced me to the ambassador program there. He and I are both of the same mind that serving this community, making it better, is both rewarding just on its own, but also rewarding for Grundhoffer and Lutescher, and can help its clients as well.
And, of course, Marv, when I first came to town, Marv was mayor, and he had gone to Creighton High School, and I had gone to St. Thomas at one time, and they're big foes.
Yeah.
And then later on, Marv became mayor again. And served his community well, and he's a recipient of the Joseph Lee Haywood Service to Community Award, which is a very big deal. And Marv, I understand, is holding up. He's in his 90, 91 years old, something like that?
Yes.
Is he living at home still?
I believe he is, actually. He's, of course, retired at the office, but of council, and his office is still in the building. He comes down occasionally to visit everyone, so.
Well, I remember when his office was next to the First National Bank, and next to Tiny's, which is now a bicycle shop.
Right.
And he'd be going over to Tiny's for a cup of coffee every morning. So I know your partners pretty well. Are there any other attorneys? Is there a woman attorney also involved?
So actually, she has she's left the practice.
Okay.
I think she started to work for a county somewhere in Waseca County, I believe.
Okay.
But there is also Robin Finke. He's there part time, and he's in and out of the office. He stays very busy going to court appearances all over southern Minnesota. He does some public defender work as well, but he also does work with the office and for clients. So.
Robin, what's his last name?
Finke.
I guess I'm not familiar with him.
Yeah.
It's 7 minutes after 9 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair, and a reminder that the Quarterback Club opens at 7 o'clock for breakfast from now until, I believe, March 2nd, because their morning crew are on a cruise somewhere, I believe. And the Quarterback Club, of course, is the place in Northfield to go for breakfast, and they serve breakfast until 10 o'clock each morning. And at the Quarterback Club, you can get the best burgers in town. They're flame-broiled. And they're very well known for their roasted chicken. And, of course, they have soups and salads and fish. And they've got it all at the Quarterback Club on Highway 3 and 3rd Street in Northfield. And it's locally owned and locally managed. And David Hestel, we want you to stop by the Quarterback Club soon.
I'll have to make the time to.
You know, if you're townie, you got to go to the QB. And so what I generally do on this show is I find out all about individuals, but you're such a young whippersnapper, you haven't had all the experiences that some of my clients have had. And we make the best of that, and welcome to the community, and welcome to KYMN Radio.
Thank you very much.
Okay. By the way, if my name ever pops up, half the rumors you hear about me are true.
I just had to decide which half.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
All about that estimation.
Okay. So getting started here, we generally go like where were you born. We go back to mom and dad and grandma and grandpa as far as we can. And, of course, nowadays people are really interested in their genealogy and subscribe to heredity or whatever it's called, the two different 23andMe. I can't remember all the names, but I do know that they checked on those. And my daughter, who's adopted, and was adopted through your office way back when, and, 40-some years ago. Anyhow, she got one of those ancestry kits for Christmas, and the results were back, and she started getting onto the Internet, and she found her biological mother, and was thrilled, but learned that her biological mother passed away in August of last year of cancer. So she didn't get a chance to meet her, but she knows all about her, knows who her grandpas are, and knows who her aunts and uncles are, and no brothers or sisters. But anyhow, pretty exciting. Have you, as a young attorney, have you been involved in adoption yet?
So, yes, actually. I've done a lot of service in family law areas throughout my short practice, and I'm already throwing myself into some family law issues as well as and including adoption. Obviously, I can't talk too much about that right here, obviously. But, yeah, and it's nice to hear that even a long time ago, David Lutischer was doing good work in this community, and that Grindhoffer and Lutischer was part of this community and making people's lives a better place.
So you are, let me get this straight now. You were from Ohio, from Georgia, then into Ohio, and then from Ohio to Arizona, in Arizona to Minnesota. Is that the trip you took?
Well, it's a little confused there at the beginning, but it's a long, strange trip it's been, so certainly I can walk you through all of the places that I've been.
I'm real nosy. First of all, where were you born?
So I was born in Toledo, Ohio.
Okay, were you raised there?
No, I was not.
Where were you raised?
Within a week. Yeah. My family moved from Toledo, Ohio to Detroit, Michigan, where I stayed for about 2 years of my life. So all of this I barely remember.
Of course. And then from Detroit, where did you go?
From Detroit back to Cincinnati, Ohio, where my mother's side of the family is from.
Okay, you're giving me all these Cincinnati. Okay, then after Cincinnati?
From there, my father took a job at a hospital down in Savannah, Georgia, when I was 4 years old. So that's where I grew up and do envision as my hometown.
Okay, now that's interesting, because I'll tell you why in a minute. But first of all, what did your dad or mom or both do in Toledo?
My mother was actually a middle school teacher, an elementary school teacher.
Okay, and how about your dad?
My father was in med school at the time, and they were supporting each other through those moments and through my birth. So.
Okay, and then what happened in Detroit?
My dad was starting residency there, but my mother was still teaching at that time.
Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I do.
Who's the oldest in your family?
That would be me.
And then after you?
That would be my sister, and my one and only sister.
Well, how old is she? Much younger than you.
Yes, she's actually 28, so, and I'm 30, so we're 2 years, 3 years
apart. Okay, so what's her name?
Her name is Allison.
Allison. You call her Alice?
We call her Allie occasionally, Allie. But I think she likes to go by her full name.
Allison. Okay, we'll call her Allison. Where's she living?
She's actually living in Florida now.
Okay, because she could be listening, because we are streaming.
She certainly could be, and all of my family knows about this, so they might be listening in to here in Northfield.
Great. What about your dad? What's his name?
My dad's name is David as well. So
okay, David, and your mom's name is
Jenny.
Jenny. Okay, Jenny. All right, so we got David and Jenny. Jenny's a teacher, and David is going to med school in Toledo. Then he takes his residence in Detroit.
Yes.
And then how do you end up in Cincinnati?
So he returned to do a little more residency in a hospital there. They were thinking about settling down still in that Mideast section of the country.
Okay. Do you have any memory of Cincinnati?
I do, actually. I remember growing up on a cul-de-sac. I remember the wide openness of the community there, the small little neighborhood, and being able to do everything from be out on the street with other children of my age to going behind the house and running into the woods and forest. So
a lovely deal. Do you remember your first bicycle?
I actually do remember a bicycle, but that was in Georgia that I remember getting on a bike and riding it. So that came a little later, I believe.
But, okay, how old were you when you moved to Savannah? Four?
4 years old.
Okay, four. All right, so now you're living in another cul-de-sac or out on the farm or downtown? Or where did you live in Savannah?
I was actually out in the suburbs on a small island, of which there are many, on that southern intercoastal waterway sort of area. Out in the marshes, there's plenty of fun areas to run into and explore. But I was actually near a small lagoon that I remember being warned don't go too close to it because there are alligators in that lagoon. So that was our first warning that we got for once we'd moved down to Savannah,
was
Georgia.
Was your father practicing medicine then?
Yes,
your
he
mom
was.
A teacher?
Yes, and she was still continuing to teach at the preschool level.
Now, what about... I got to get this out of my system. My wife and I like to travel by car, and we've done the overseas and all that. And you know, I don't enjoy sitting on a plane for 4 hours or 2 hours or 12 hours. So anyhow, we jump in the car, and we explore and take byways, etc. And we were heading towards Savannah. This was last fall in, I believe, October. And the reason I wanted to go to Savannah, number one, I like the name, Savannah. It's just, I had pictures of it being, you know, with moss hanging from trees and all of this and that. And I just thought I'd hear that deep southern accent. And then, I hate to admit it, I found out that Savannah is on the coast. And the hurricane was coming through. And I don't think it hit Savannah very hard, but did it?
No, it didn't affect Savannah too much, but they've been experiencing a few hurricanes year after year and at least getting some brunt of it. I remember actually visiting multiple times after these hurricanes had come through, and the number of branches, trees that had been downed was staggering. The piles of trees, branches, brush that they were able to pull out from wooded areas around there was truly stunning. So,
well, kind of like the tornado that went through our town last fall.
It reminded me a lot of that.
You know where we ended up?
Where?
Biloxi. Have you been there?
No, I actually haven't been to Biloxi.
We ended up in Biloxi, and they have some of the most beautiful trees, oak trees, that line the west side of the highway that runs adjacent to the shoreline. And it was just beautiful, and it was hot and humid. We just loved it. Because, we were coming, I think it was late October when we went down there. So we enjoyed that. But Savannah, if we would have ended there, where would you have told us to go to be entertained and see the beauty?
I know, actually, that I would encourage you to take advantage of the coast. My family actually had a house out on Tybee Island. It's about 15 minutes from actual downtown Savannah. And it's a small little beach town. It has that very beach bum quality. I definitely encourage going there and just enjoying that sort of small beach town quality to it. It's got plenty of good eats, which all of Savannah has. And that's, I think, where I'd turn to next. Turn to downtown Savannah. Go to Lady and Sons. Go get some southern cooking. I really would encourage enriching yourself with that aspect. I know that Savannah likes to push forward its quality eating and quality southern cooking, and I encourage anyone going there to take advantage of that fully.
Is there any fishing out of Savannah?
I remember actually fishing off of my dock, and they have everything from just fishing in that intercoastal waterway to actually taking some deep-sea fishing tours. So you can always take advantage of that in Savannah. And I know that now's a exciting time to be going to Savannah because they have a very large St. Patrick's Day parade. So that'll be coming up very soon.
Well, and I don't associate St. Patrick's with Savannah.
It's actually quite a big to-do there. There's a big parade, and it usually the festivities last for a long time if you're excited by going down and taking part in that. Of course, River Street is actually a big deal in Savannah, and it's a big location in Savannah. And, of course, there are plenty of restaurants along River Street to just enjoy and stroll along.
Are there any famous people from Savannah?
So, actually, I was thinking about this just the other day. Johnny Mercer is actually from Savannah, and he's a big songwriter, lyrics writer. And he's probably Savannah's most famous son. There's statues of him, but there are various colonial era people that ended up in Savannah, actually, that are famous. James Oglethorpe is the founder of Savannah, so...
James Oglethorpe?
Oglethorpe, and there are many squares and statues related to him as
well. Isn't there an Oglethorpe that was a rude and lewd artist?
Trying to think of that. I can't think of any Oglethorpe that was a artist. But
okay. So if a guy were to go on vacation down there, then could he rent a boat to live on, sleep on, or would you go to a camping area, or would you go to a five-star hotel, or all of those things available?
All of those are available, of course, in Savannah. I'd certainly recommend going out with a charter on boats. I remember when my family, we were all very new to the idea of going out in the boats, and we were very excited to do so. We had brought family from Ohio to go out on our recently acquired boat, and we took it out, and there we ran into a storm, and our boat ran aground. We had to abandon ship. There were very kind people who came out on their dock just to help us out, but that was our first experience with truly being lost in this hole. The storms that can really affect those waterways and change the tides and hide mud banks and all sorts of sandbars as well.
So was that on the intercoastal, or were we actually...
That was in the intercoastal waterway, so we weren't out into the Atlantic or any of the beaches area.
You weren't going to be swept away.
No. So it wasn't as terrifying as all that, but it was...
Maybe spilled the beer.
I believe that was the... that might have been the problem.
Are you talking about a boat with a cabin, or are you talking about a speedboat, or...
It had a small cabin, but it was an outboard motorboat.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you could fish off that?
Yes.
Okay. What's the biggest fish you ever caught? I'm
trying to think.
And what was it?
I remember the deep sea fishing tours that we used to do off going out from Savannah. Probably the largest thing that I caught was a grouper. And I'm trying to remember how large it was, but it was obscenely long, and just the size of it was incredible. You think of big things like dolphinfish, mahi-mahi, tuna, the swordfish, those incredibly long fish that you go out to deep sea fish, and they look beautiful, so you want to hold it up. Groupers are sort of ugly, but... they are huge, and they can put up a real fight, and it's very exciting to do that.
So. Now, you just drop a line or troll?
It goes from... You do both for various different type of fish.
Okay.
But for the grouper, I remember dropping that line because they do like to hide under rocks. Mm. So...
Now, when you go out fishing like that... how many minutes, hours, do you go out before you start fishing?
About an hour and a half.
Wow.
And the farther you go out, the better anyways. But obviously that's a big change coming up around here and wanting to go fishing. We're able to go fishing right on a lake or on the river. You go to the river's edge and cast in. And that's exciting to actually be able to do that. But there are tactics to deep sea fishing as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was one of the things that I had the opportunity to go on one or two occasions. And are we there yet? Are we there yet? Because you go and how shallow it can be really impressed me. Our guest this morning is David Estel, and he is the new attorney at Grundhofer Lutescher Law Firm over on Water and 6th Street in Northfield, Minnesota. We'll take a brief break. We'll be back and continue our conversation with David right after these important messages. You're listening to The Wayne Eddy Affair.
And Graphic Man!
Hey, little shippers, what's up?
We came to see you in person.
Well, here I am, just working at Graphic Mailbox. What do you want to know?
Is it true that you make every sign?
Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but Graphic Mailbox has made many of the signs you see in Northfield.
How about for monster trucks?
Yes, we can put decals on almost anything.
How about on dinosaurs?
Well, we can make graphics of dinosaurs.
How about in space?
Kids, I gotta run. Gotta go install a sign. TTFN!
Wow! How does he do that?
An evening of mystery awaits you. On Saturday, March 2nd, St. Dominic's School invites you to a historic event, the 20th anniversary of Saints Night Out. Join us for a masquerade ball and a fun-filled evening with live and silent auctions, games, raffles, and the opportunity to celebrate the history and future of St. Dominic's School. Contact the school today for more information. Saints Night Out, brought to you by Einstein Remodeling, Millersburg Construction, Benjamin Franklin Plumbing, Forget-Me-Not Florist, Homes of Distinction, and Chris and Mary Thurin.
We're back live in the color from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota on KYMN Radio. Kim, a friend you can count on. I have a fellow by the name of David Estel in studio with me. He is a new attorney at Grundhofer and Lutescher. That just reminds me, do you know when is the Mardi Gras? Is that coming up this week or next week?
When is that? I'm not quite
is
sure.
Is tomorrow Fat Tuesday? I don't know.
I don't believe it is. It's not tomorrow, is it?
It's getting close.
But yeah, it is coming up.
Have you ever been to the Mardi Gras?
No, I have not.
Have you ever been to the big St. Patrick's deal in Savannah as a young kid having a lot of fun?
I remember actually going as a kid to see the parade, and it is quite the ordeal. You think of parades, floats, and just the general excitement of it all. And that is actually a big part of the St. Patrick's Day parade in Savannah, but part of it is actually to remember the heritage of Irish heritage that many people have in Savannah, and there are plenty of just families walking in the parade, clans all decked out in their green blazers, and just going and talking to each other on the sides of the road. So the parade is a very casual affair. It's not a receive your marching orders and walk kind of thing. It's very casual and very an all-day affair, truly.
Are there any hooligans?
Yes, there are, but those are usually not at the parade. I think I remember my parents picking up my sister and I and saying, "Let's get out of here after the parade because it's gonna be a little wild in downtown Savannah."
Well, if you missed that, you know, St. Paul has a big St. Patrick's Day parade. By the way, when did you arrive in Northfield? Take on this job?
So, taking on this job very recently, but I've
what's
actually
very recently.
Very recently means within the past 3 weeks.
Oh, you are new. Yeah.
Yes, I am.
You're a puppy.
That I am. I'm okay. Still there at Grundhofer and Lutescher, both. I'm wearing many hats there right now. I go from learning the procedures of the office and just figuring out daily tasks around there to making court appearances.
We'll get to that point, but right now I'm just hanging around Savannah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking the parade in Savannah for St. Patrick's Day, you and your sister Allison would go with Mom and Dad, David and Jenny. Have you heard about the Winter Carnival Parade in St. Paul?
Yes, I have, actually.
Because we have ambassadors that go to the parade, and it's like 10 below. Can you imagine being in a parade?
I can imagine bundling up in these past few weeks. We've had a real cold snap, so...
Yeah, that must... you're not used to that.
I'm not, but we'll talk more about how I'm actually at least a little acquainted with the weather, but it's been a shock being back here in Northfield, especially starting work on those days that were that had wind chills of negative 40.
Yeah.
So it was exciting to come back to work and really have to bundle up.
Did you call your dad, David, or your mom, Jenny, and say, can you believe this? The temperature's actually 36 below zero.
I remember them telling us that it was time to beware of the polar vortex.
Yeah.
Like it was some entity that was coming in and it was going to threaten my life. And it was life-threatening. It was dangerous out there. So,
well, anyhow, what I like to do is go through high school. Now, you went to high school in Savannah. What
yes.
was the name of the high school?
The high school was Savannah Country Day School.
Country Day
yes.
School? What does that mean?
It means that it was a small private school in Savannah.
Okay. And yeah, I've heard of day schools. Into here, we relate that to babysitting, basically, you know. But down there, they're elite schools, aren't they?
Yes, that's sort of the idea, is just to have this prestige to it. And it was prestigious, but I like to think that it also had a community-oriented bent that has continued throughout and has instilled in me that same bent today.
Well, was your dad a... medical doctor, a surgeon?
He was a radiologist.
A radiologist,
actually.
Okay. And so you lived on this little island off of the main part of Savannah, and you got to go to the country day school. How did you start there in 1 and go through 12?
I did, actually.
Wow.
I started there in kindergarten and went all the way to my senior year there.
What year did you get out of high school?
I graduated in 2006.
2006, okay, not that long ago.
Yep.
And so as you're going through there, did you have to wear a uniform or a tie?
I did, and it felt very, if you can imagine, the southern sort of collared, buttoned-up sort of look, with shorts, of course, because of the heat. That was me walking around in those in high school.
Was that a co-ed school?
It was.
Okay. How many were in your class?
My class graduated with about 65 people, so it was a very small school.
So you got to know everybody?
Yes.
Okay. And were they known for anything in particular in regard other than sophistication and exclusivity? Were there other day school that you played sports against, debated against, or had choir with? Or how did that work? Tell us all the details about being in a elitist, if you will, school and what that was like.
Well, it certainly envisioned itself as creating young Renaissance men and women. It tried to instill in us that love of all sorts of different areas and encourage those your excellence in the arts, in sports, in academics. It encouraged all of those.
Did
of
you
course.
Have like polo?
No, we did not have a stable or anything like that, but we did have a crew. So there was that aspect, and
that's
of
work.
Course, right.
Coordination, teamwork.
Yep. So there was crew, but of course I chose choir.
Ah.
And that was my main thing. We went to various sort of events for choir, competitions for choir. I remember being part of national choirs in high school and going to try out for those. It was a very exciting time.
What, did you compete against other private schools or
usually public? It was other private okay. schools that we went to events.
What color
for.
Were your shorts?
I remember them. They were this khaki tan sort of color.
And what color was the shirt?
It was either green or you could be gold because those were the colors of the school.
And you wore a tie? How about a blazer?
Usually we just wore longer longer things in the wintertime. We didn't really have to worry too much about getting too bundled up or having some larger jacket okay. on.
Now, was the Country Day School originally all male?
No, I believe it actually was always envisioned okay. as a co-ed.
What was the ratio of men and women?
I think it was actually about half and half, if not a little more, a few more girls in my class than there were boys.
What did they wear?
They actually wore the same exact shirts, but they would wear plaid skirts instead of
were
pants
you in theater?
Or shorts. Yes, I actually did do some theater.
What plays were you in?
I remember being in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, as a musical, and I remember being in Godspell, the musical. So I did a lot of musical theater.
Did you have any solos?
Yes, I did. In Godspell, I remember my solo as John the Baptist, and I don't know if you're familiar with that play, but there... John the Baptist sort of morphs into Judas in that play, but they sort of split those two roles apart to allow multiple yeah. students to be in it.
Well, how about Charlie Brown?
I remember singing alongside everyone. I was Linus in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
A lot of fun. Were you in band at all? Did you pick up a instrument?
No, I never really pursued any other instrument. My voice was my instrument, and I really did throw myself into being part of choir.
Well, why don't we turn on my mic? I'm going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment here on the Wayne Eddy Affair and continue our conversation with Dave Estel. I'm saying that right?
Yes.
Estel, just like Nestle. No, Estel.
February is National Children's Dental Health Month. It takes more to maintain good dental health than just brushing teeth at home. Regular dental checkups are vital for your child's total health and well-being. The American Dental Association recommends having your children's teeth evaluated every 6 months. The dentist can check for cavities and place dental sealants to prevent cavities in the pits and grooves of permanent molars. A child's dental development is also monitored for the proper eruption of both baby and permanent adult teeth, as well as the bite relationship between the upper and lower dental arches. Dentist and hygienist can help children and their parents develop a good care routine to promote optimal oral health between visits. This announcement has been sponsored for your child's benefit by these Northfield area dentists, Drs. Aaron Johnson and Christy Johnson from Johnson Dental, Drs. David Buck, David Brust, and Michael Thompson of Heritage Dental Care.
Wanamingo Mutual Insurance Agency in Wanamingo would like to salute the Kenyan Wanamingo FFA chapter during National FFA Week. FFA encourages wise management of economic, environmental, and human resources of the community. Visit with Bonnie about her good insurance rates. She can save you money and is happy to give you an estimate for all your insurance needs. Contact the Wanamingo Mutual Insurance Agency in Wanamingo.
Hi, I'm Angie Taylor, Director of Life Enrichment at Three Links Care Center in Northfield. We offer daily activities at each of our facilities, including independent senior living, assisted living, care center, and memory care. The activities range from exercise classes to sing-alongs, games to gardening, from bus rides in the countryside to painting fine art. Activities are personalized for the individual. Please call Three Links at 664-8800. Or find out more at threelinks.org.
You're tuned to 1080 Radio AM for over 50 years here in Northfield, and of course now 95.1 FM, The One, the Wayne Eddy Affair, and David Estel. Oh boy, I wrote it down. I shouldn't look at it. I should just remember it. Estelle.
Yes.
Estelle. Okay. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Estelle.
Estelle who?
Estelle Leader. Okay. Okay. Never mind. Sorry about that. But David Estelle is my guest this morning. He's a new attorney in town, and I'm just learning that he went to day school, the country day school in Savannah, Georgia, graduated in 2006, a class of 65. And do you remember who gave the commencement speech at your school?
No, I do not remember who exactly gave the commencement speech. I remember us being sort of our class was sort of bookended by two speakers, and one of them was Justice Clarence Thomas, actually.
Wow.
And so I know that he's spoken at Savannah Country Day before.
That's big time.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you met...
Justice Clarence Thomas is actually from Savannah. He grew up in a neighborhood.
Oh, well,
of
that's another famous. I mean, wouldn't you think that that would be another famous Savannahite? Savannahite or Savannahist?
Savannian.
Savannian. Okay, I like that. Savannian. Hello, yeah. My name is David. I'm a Savannian. So during school, you had the opportunity to participate in music. Did you have solos when you did your traveling competition?
Yes, I did, and I even was part of a small barbershop quartet smaller male competitions.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how I had a guest on the show here that did the sound for a barbershop quartet competition, and the sound had to be further into the audience so that the judges could hear the voices without electronics involved.
I remember that just sort of forward projection that you really have to drive forward. But, of course, you didn't want to strain your neck to do that. You didn't want to strain your vocal cords. You wanted to have that drive coming up from your chest, from your gut.
We have to breathe diaphragmatically.
Right.
So, were you a tenor?
I was, actually.
Okay. How did I know that?
You just must have a good feel for voices, I believe, I imagine.
17 minutes before it's 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Don't forget we have 15 with the author coming up at 11 o'clock with Terry Knight. We'll tell you more about that in a moment. But David Estelle is my guest here on Kim Radio. And we did I miss anything in regards to your high school years? How did you get to school? How far was it from the island?
It was actually about 15 to 20 minutes. I remember actually taking the bus. The buses went to various suburbs, so this school did envision itself as being able to service all different parts of Savannah and having people from all different parts of Savannah, including downtown, coming in.
Do you have to pass a test to get in?
I cannot remember, because this was in kindergarten that I would have taken these tests to be part of.
Is there like a waiting list to get in?
I actually believe there was that kind of situation at that school.
Is there a traditional college or university that they're a feeder to?
I don't think there was a traditional one. I know that a lot of people envision themselves going to the University of Georgia when they're from Georgia, because many family members have gone to the University of Georgia.
Am I confusing that now? My dad used to sing, "I'm a heck of a wreck from Georgia Tech and a hell of an engineer. A hell of a, hell of a, hell of a..." Is that...
That's not the University of Georgia. That's home state rivalry between Georgia Tech and the University of Georgia. The University of Georgia, I think, are the Bulldogs.
Okay. The Bulldogs, yeah. And so this is the only school you ever went to. And did you have, like, a prom?
I did. I remember those proms very well. Some of them were held in old train stations in downtown Savannah. That had a... those had a wonderful sort of feel to them, that historic aspect of Savannah that you get just walking through it. Now, but we were able to take part in that.
Now, is this something like I see in the movies or visualize with the beautiful big dresses and the special dances and all that?
I think you're envisioning sort of debutante balls. Yeah. I think as much as this was the Savannah Country Day School and like to put on airs of prestige and elite quality, I think they were still high school dances, so it wasn't going too far out for the debutante balls, but certainly, actually, I remember after high school, getting invited to debutante balls for various members of my class.
Is debutante, is that like when you turn 16? Or
I think that was it originally, but now they like to do it after they've turned 18 or 19, and the woman is presented. Of course, now it's not presented for marriage anymore. It's more of a... presented as, this is what my daughter is, and we're very proud of
that. Did Allison go through that?
No, she did not. My family, actually, I remember my father being very proud that he was not going to send his children to any cotillion or manners classes in Savannah. He was very proud that...
Cotillion?
Cotillion, yes. It's a manners class. I remember my other less fortunate classmates having to go on Friday nights, Saturday days, to learn how to ballroom dance, the correct way to place forks, knives, and that sort of thing. That culture is still alive and well in Savannah, Georgia.
But Allison didn't have to go through
that. Allison did not have to go through that. I did not have to go through that. But you pick up on it just from your classmates having gone that weekend.
Here's a big question now. David and Jenny, your mom and dad, were they just really blown away and disappointed that you wanted to be a lawyer?
Well, I'd heard plenty of bad-mouthing about lawyers from my dad, who's a doctor, of course. And I remember actually being in hospital often, seeing what was going on there. And it was fascinating, and it's a great career to go into. I'm impressed always by the level of service it takes to work in medicine at any level. But I knew that wasn't for me. But I knew that serving my community was, and that my skill set actually fit into that. And I think my father and mother have certainly made peace and are very excited to have an attorney in the family.
Now, did you have your eyes on law school? When did you start seriously thinking about it? Was it high school or college?
I think it was actually after college that I started thinking about it. I had a different sort of career track, but it fit in nicely, as I think you'll see.
Well, when did you get your first car?
I remember getting my first car at 16.
To school your junior and senior year?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
We'll find out what happened after high school with our guest this morning, David Essel. He is a member of the Grundhofer Lutescher Law Firm here in Northfield. We'll be right back.
I'm Priya, and I'm part of the amazing community at CrossFit Scopos. I found myself getting bored with my usual gym routine. That's when I found CrossFit Scopos, a functional group fitness methodology dedicated to making you move better. You'll never be bored with a new workout every day planned by one of our fantastic coaches. CrossFit Scopos is for everybody. We don't throw tires. This community is inclusive and fun, and the workouts are making me stronger. I love this gym, and I guarantee you will too. Stop by anytime. We're located in Dundas off Highway 3 next to Menards.
Are you looking for spacious senior living in Northfield? Feel at home at Northfield Retirement Communities, Northwood Pines. Available for individuals and couples, this assisted living combines the privacy of one-bedroom plus den apartments with family-style meals and care available around the clock. Visit us online at northfieldretirement.org or call us today at 664-3466. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation. Choice. Tradition.
Tax prep comes with a lot of questions, but what you'll pay for tax prep shouldn't be one of them. Luckily, H&R Block has upfront pricing, so you know the price when you get there. Just three easy steps to know the cost before you begin. Any questions? In person or online, Block has your back.
At participating locations, applies to personal returns for tax year 2018 only. See tax office for details.
1300 Bollenbacher Drive in Northfield, open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 507-645-6281 to set up an appointment or stop in.
8 minutes before 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio. At 11 o'clock, in a book inspired by her popular TED Talk, New York Times bestselling author Reshma Sojani empowers women and girls to embrace imperfection and bravery. Imagine if you lived without the fear of not being good enough, if you didn't care how your life looked on Instagram or worry about what total strangers thought of you. Reshma is Terry Knight's guest today on 15 with the author with her new book, Brave Not Perfect, Fear Less, Fare More, and Live Bolder. She discusses the myth of perfection and some strategies to get past fear and forge ahead into bravery. That's at 11 o'clock this morning on 15 with the author. My guest this morning, David Essel, correct me if I mispronounce it. What about in that particular day school, country day school, was there fear to succeed, that you wouldn't succeed? I mean, there a lot of peer pressure, I would imagine.
I do remember that it was a school that encouraged that sort of level of excellence that required a lot of hard work, even at the high school level. And obviously it did envision itself as a college prep school. It imagined most of its graduates going on to go to college. But
I was thinking, what if the if it's an elitist, hard, tough school, and they marked on a curve, that would be horrible, except that if you sign up before you're even born, in some cases, and start at kindergarten level, the curve can be thrown out, or could be fair.
Yeah. It's
not fair, but not as demanding.
Right. Yeah. You just, it's sort of become part of your student life at that point. So,
were you president of your class? Vice president?
No,
treasurer?
Actually,
secretary?
I don't remember actually being involved in student government. Yeah. I truly did throw myself more into the arts.
Okay. So now you graduate and it's time to pick a college. So now, where did your dad graduate from college?
He graduated from Wittenberg University, which was in Ohio.
And your mom?
Wittenberg University in Ohio.
Did they encourage you to go to Wittenberg University in Ohio?
They certainly did. They had me tour the campus there, and I remember touring the campus. But I remember thinking I wanted something a little bit different.
And so, what other schools did you visit?
Well, I knew that I wanted to go to a private, small, liberal arts college in the Midwest. And so I started looking at other places, namely Northfield, Minnesota, where there were two of those. And I looked at St. Olaf College and Carleton College, applied to both of those, got accepted at both of those, and of course...
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, here it comes, the big announcement. He was accepted by both St. Olaf and Carleton, and he had his choice to go to either one. And the answer is, what do you think, folks?
Was St. Olaf College.
And you did it because they had a wonderful musical department, I'll bet.
that is what attracted me to it, ultimately.
And how had you heard of Northfield's Carrollton and St. Olaf?
Well, I'd actually gone to the choir camp one summer. I think we had actually just started looking at... We had visited Minnesota a few times. I'd gone to the Boundary Waters with my father.
Wow.
Those kinds of things sort of gave me this introduction to Minnesota, and then I wanted to jump in head first into it when I went to college here.
How old were you when you went to the Boundary Waters?
Remember, I was 15. Teen at the time with my father.
Just you and your father?
Yes, just me and my father bonding for over a week, and we
bonding.
Were camping out there and fishing.
Any storms go through?
No, we actually came during a wonderful summer, and it was beautiful that whole week. It was absolutely stunning.
And that of course, was a great experience for you and your dad to bond, and because you had to make your own meals and campfires and sleep on a... Yeah, that's a pretty cool deal. So you heard of Minnesota, and you then heard about St. Olaf and Carrollton. You were a person involved in singing, choir work, and barbershop quartet, and St. Olaf is well known for their musical program. So you opted to go to St. Olaf.
Yes, I did.
So you are an Ole. Now, did you go your freshman year immediately after high school?
I did.
You didn't take any time off?
No.
Okay. So you arrived on in Northfield during Defeat of Jesse James days?
I did.
What did you think of that when you first came as a kid from Savannah?
I actually enjoyed going to the rodeo. I'd been out west plenty of times and actually seen rodeos and enjoyed going to the rodeo, so I remembered I wanted to take a specific time to actually go down specifically for the rodeo. But the fact that the whole downtown of Northfield was just filled with community members and people from out of town, from all over the place, from all over the nation, from all over the world even.
Yep, that's exactly right.
It was astounding to see that when I thought I was coming to a small, quiet college town for contentment.
It quieted down a little bit after that.
It does.
Did your David and Jenny, your folks, have a chance to ever be in town during that celebration?
Yes, they were. So they also enjoyed going to that.
Good. Where'd they stay?
I remember they stayed at various places, but they never stayed downtown. Sometimes they'd stay in Faribault. Sometimes they'd stay in Dunn.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get a place in Northfield. Well, that's exciting to know that. And, of course, you now sign up for just a liberal arts education. No, not just, but a liberal arts education, majoring in voice.
So I actually planned sort of to major in a science field, a chemistry field. I was good at that, and I saw opportunities there. But fate sort of changed that as well.
Your freshman year?
Yeah, actually.
What did the counselor and you sitting there come up with?
Well, I remember getting a counselor from the classics department. He encouraged me, and I actually did enjoy languages, and he encouraged me to take a different language. And indeed, he encouraged me to take one of the building blocks of language, Latin. So I said, why not? Why not try this out? And of course, I got...
Well, did you take Latin at the country day?
No, that's the strange part about it.
You would think you would have.
Exactly. You would have thought I would do that, but instead it was Spanish there, and that was obviously encouraged down there. But I came up here, and I decided to go ahead and do Latin, just because I enjoyed language. I enjoyed the idea of finding the building blocks of language.
Yeah, the mother of the Romantic languages.
Right.
Yeah, Agricola.
Yes, the farmer out in the field.
Lunar. I took 2 years of Latin and figured I learned about 1 month of Latin. I didn't get the qui, quid, quod, quis, quis, and all that stuff. But I could do the mea culpa, and the Kyrie's. David Estel is my guest here this morning. He is a three-week-old attorney at the Grundhofer Lüdischer Law Firm here in town. And we are going to take a break here so you can get more water or whatever. And we'll learn more about his stay at St. Olaf and what law school he went to and how a guy from Savannah, Georgia, whose mother and father have wonderful positions. Jenny teaches, and David is a what's the name?
A radiologist.
A radiologist, and things could be pretty easy. Let's say a living could be easy in Savannah, but he chose to live here. We'll be back right after. We're going to play my theme song for this hour. I can't find the news on this computer, so here we go. How about that? Paul McCartney, The Beatles on KYMN Radio. And here's something I'll bet you my guest doesn't know. The clarinet in that song was played by Paul McCartney's dad. Isn't that... Do you know who Paul McCartney is, by the way?
Yes, I do.
The Beatles?
Paul.
You know? Okay.
Yes, I'm aware of that. I mean, but that's nice that he brought his family members in to
amen.
Record that.
And by the way, we are streaming all over the world. If you have a smartphone or a computer, you can go to kymnradio.net, and then to listen, click the button that says to listen. And, of course, you also can go to the Wayne Eddy Affair and look up any of my previous interviews with interesting people from around the community, around the state, around the Midwest, around the United States, around the world. Today we got a guy in the studio that grew up in Savannah, Georgia, and he is... graduate of St. Olaf College, went there to study music and languages, and ended up, did you major in Latin?
I did. I majored in classics, so both Latin and ancient Greek.
Okay. So when you opened the book, did you look at it and say, oh, this looks Greek to me?
That I did. Yeah. That was a constant joke, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say it.
Why not use it? Yeah.
So what story in your Latin studies or Greek studies do you did you enjoy the most when you were reading it in Latin and reading it in Greek?
I think I really did enjoy, actually, the speeches of Cicero when we read those. They're not so much stories, but they did have a story then. I enjoyed the history of those speeches, finding out about the events that were happening around those speeches, what he was referencing in those speeches. Being able to read what was said in those essential moments of Roman history was, it's very powerful.
Yep. Did you believe it all?
Well, maybe not the myths. Okay. And, of course, the history is clouded in sometimes mystery. Mm-hmm. But you like to be critical of it, and you like to think about it as well.
Well, I took ancient history, and when I wasn't doing very well, I said to my instructor, "Who cares what happened a long time ago?" Oh, what an attitude I had. And I sure wish I would have had an attitude similar to yours where you enjoyed studying. And so did you get hooked up with the Vikings or any other choral group at St. Olaf?
So I did the Viking choir, and I ultimately was in the Cantori choir.
Ooh. Yep. Doing some classics there, huh?
Yes, I was. A lot of church music, organ music. It was under the director of John Ferguson, who is also a big name in organ and church music. Mm-hmm. So it was faith-based and very powerful to actually connect in that way and be part of services there. I know that Cantori really made an effort to be part of church service as well.
A lot of people listening have taught or going to school at St. Olaf, or know people's basically as citizens, but maybe professors up at St. Olaf. Why don't you name some of the professors you had in various disciplines?
I remember actually, of course, all of the classics staff, and I know that that classics staff is part of this community and lives
well,
here.
Well, who are they?
Northfield. One was, for example, James May.
Okay.
He was the head of the school, actually, when I was there, but also still teaching and taking the time to teach classics because he loved it so much. I worked with Professor Steve Reese. I worked with Professor Ann Groton. All of those people were instrumental in my life. I know that Professor Chris Brunel, I don't believe he's actually at St. Olaf anymore, but he was there, and he was actually the advisor that encouraged me to branch out and try a different language and set me on that path towards my
Who was
my major.
President
of the class?
Of the college?
David Anderson.
Well, he's a guy that likes the classics.
Yes, he does.
And I had him on the air, and it was pretty interesting what he liked in regards to literature.
I remember actually always making a point when our classics department would go around doing Latin and ancient Greek Christmas carols. We would go to the president's house, of course, and he would always have, his family, and his guests would occasionally come out specifically to listen to the Latin and ancient Greek Christmas caroling.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
So what did you get your degree in from St. Olaf?
It was in classics.
Okay. Now, at that point, were you even considering teaching, going on to become a professor?
I was considering both that and at a high school level. And that's actually what I was planning on doing right out of college.
High school.
Out of high school?
No. I mean,
I was
St.
teaching
Olaf,
high school. Yes.
Not middle school.
Not middle school particularly.
That'd be horrible. To have your first job as a teacher in middle school. That's a challenging role, believe me.
It's a time of changes. So.
It's 10 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is David Estel.
Estel.
S-Tull.
If you look at that name, it's just confusing.
That's why I know. I keep wanting to say Estelle. S-Tull.
Yep.
Okay, there. How's that? S-Tull.
Yes.
I spelled it phonetically. It is 10 minutes after 10 o'clock here on KYMN Radio. David Estall, a new attorney here in town, and has hooked up with the Grundhofer and Lutescher law firm. And he is a graduate of St. Olaf College and liked to study the classics. And you got your degree in that. And so now the year, I assume, is right around 2010
yes.
that you graduated.
Yes.
And then... Now you got this Bachelor of Arts degree, and now you're thinking about going in and teaching high school. Well, what happened, actually?
I did teach high school.
You did?
I taught high school Latin up at Edina Public Schools.
Wow. You hooked up with a good school district.
I was in a nice school district. I enjoyed the school district. I enjoyed my colleagues. I loved the students. It was great, actually, for
but
a year.
But can you imagine the first day of school for those students? I bet you they walked in and said, how come he's up there?
I remember thinking the same thing and trying to...
You look so young.
Right. I wanted to have some authority. I inserted myself into all sorts of extracurricular activities so that students could see me as part of the staff. So... It was a challenge, but I remember overcoming that challenge. But it was indeed a challenge to teach that grade.
Did you have one or two students that were good students that had that respect and comprehension of you that help, let's say they were real popular, that they could say, hey, listen, this guy is really, don't just look at him as a young man with these glasses on. It could be our age. Look at him as the man's very learned. Did you have some students like that?
I think so. And I think Latin in high school sometimes draws students that have that excitement for learning and are ready to latch on to any teacher who can guide them through that. And that's a great thing to have, and to see students with that passion.
Well, how many classes a day did you teach in Latin?
So I taught three, actually.
So what did you do the other time?
That was what I spent my day doing, trying to reach out in extracurriculars, leading in that, being part of the...
Well, what?
I remember specifically taking on the responsibility of proctoring lunch times at the high school, and that was a great
proctoring.
Way. It was a great way to meet students. It was a great way to do that, but it was indeed always some sort of strange thing going on and trying to guide them through that.
Any bullies?
I remember there were plenty of times where you would have to take students aside out of the lunchroom because they were causing such a disruption.
Anybody bully you?
I don't think so, though they try. I think they tried, but...
Well, the reason I say this, folks, is that you can't see him, but you're about 5'11", and you probably weigh 132 pounds, and you have these cool round glasses on, and I can see where they would walk in and fall and say, well, he's part of the student body. It must be a new kid in town. But I do understand that the Latin, those individuals that you don't take Latin just to get a credit. You know, those are students that usually want to learn, like you say. And fortunately for you, that you had that instead of a Phi Ed or something.
But during lunch, it was the whole student body and... Sure enough, I think I was confused for a student at that time in my life occasionally. Though I wore my tie, probably not a full suit at that time, but I would always wear a tie.
And were you married by that time?
No, I was not.
Okay. And how long were you at Edina?
I taught for a year.
And then what?
then I decided actually to move back home.
To
the
Savannah.
Challenges of the, yeah, to Savannah, Georgia, and be back home with my family for a little while. I wanted to consider my career options at that time.
Well, you landed in the right community based on your upbringing in Savannah and the country day school, and then you end up in Edina. That's a, you know, pretty similar community in regards to status, I suppose.
It was.
So where did you live while you were teaching at Edina?
I actually lived in Edina, just in an apartment off of France.
You could afford that with a teacher's pay?
Yes, actually. Edina Public Schools pays fairly well. It is a very nice district.
What frustrated you that you didn't go back?
I think it was the first year of teaching blues, as I think I understand they've been called by some of my teacher friends. It's going in wanting to have that complete passion about your subject, teaching them that, and having students, well, their lives are changing. They're growing in a lot of ways, and that's exciting. It is very exciting, but that sometimes gets in the way of actual learning and delving deep down into a topic that you want to go into.
Yeah. Nothing's more fun than learning if you really want to learn it. Like, I watch a lot of television, the History Channel and Discovery, and I say, wow, I really missed out on this stuff when I was younger. Too busy trying to stay afloat, you know. But I think that you got those blues, the freshman blues of teaching. So you went home to lick your wounds in Savannah and moved in with David and Jenny. And was Allison still home at that time and kind of going, hey, what are you doing here?
She was, actually, but I didn't stay there for long. I moved into, once again, an apartment and closer to downtown Savannah. Eventually.
What job did you?
I was actually working at a different medical facility from my father, but I was working in their medical records division and getting acquainted with HIPAA privacy laws for medical records.
You
actually.
Said HIPAA?
Yes.
Health?
HIPAA. Yeah, I forget exactly what all of its what its acronyms for, but it's the Privacy Act for your health information.
You know what I was just thinking?
What?
I was thinking that you probably were one of the few people that understood all the Latin names that they have for the ailments and cures and byproducts. Am I right? You could hold it up and pronounce it correctly.
It was nice to actually be able to read through some of the things and see what I was looking for and actually know what to get.
Yeah.
And what to get the patient when they, of course, requested their medical records.
19 minutes after 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio, my guest this morning is David Estel, and David is an attorney, and we will be back in just a moment.
Canyon Ace Hardware would like to salute the area FFA members during National FFA Week. FFA has continued to make a positive difference in the lives of young people by developing their potential for leadership, personal growth, and career success through hands-on agricultural education. Best of luck to all FFA members this week from Canyon Ace Hardware. Stop into Canyon Ace Hardware for all of your hardware needs, from clothing to paint and everything in between.
At the Syngenta Seeds Research Station in Stanton, we are working hard in the greenhouses and labs preparing for the upcoming season to bring plant potential to life. This Saturday, the annual Carriage and Cutter Day in Kenyon will have festivities all day, including the big parade with an impressive number of horse-drawn entries coming down Main Street. We at Syngenta live and work in the communities surrounding Stanton and are proud supporters of our community events, and hope you can take in the Carriage and Cutter Day festivities in Kenyon this Saturday.
I believe that the defeated Jesse James Day's ambassadors will be there to help promote defeated Jesse James Day's. It's promoted all year round by the ambassadors. They do a heck of a great job. 20 minutes after 10 o'clock is the correct time here on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. David Estel is my guest. He's an attorney with Grundhofer Lüdescher, and we are talking about his taking leave of absence of teaching and getting into the medical field, particularly the health records division, which are all very confidential. I suppose you have to pass a test of some sort and a background check and be vetted?
Yes, I was vetted for that. But once you're in there, you just have to follow the regulations that usually health facilities actually set up. So you follow their guidelines. But I'm sure attorneys were involved in drafting those guidelines.
You know, when people my age get together, it's very difficult to not talk about health, mine or theirs or whatever. And I often wondered every once in a while, like you hear about somebody getting into a computer of a hospital, and I'm going, well, what difference does it make? Who cares? That I mean, generally, you will tell me that you broke your arm or you're suffering from diabetes or something. What is the big secret that some people don't want others to know?
I think it is just about having that opportunity as Americans to be as private as you would like to be, to keep control of something that can be a very touchy subject for some. I know that we openly talk about medical problems, things like that, but I know that people have needs that they want to keep their medical matters to themselves, and sometimes for very good reason.
Yeah, okay, I accept that. But,
yeah.
But sometimes I think, you know, big deal. I mean, I talk about the fact I have diabetes on the air, and diabetes is the biggest thing that's hitting the American society right now, the world. And I heard about it when I was a little boy and was told, you know, you watch out because someday you're going to get it. And I couldn't stop it.
Sure enough.
And you try to control it, of course. But so how long did you work in the records health department at that place?
I worked there for 2 years, about a year and a half, I believe.
How many raises did you get during that time period?
I think I got one raise within that time period. I took on a few new administrative duties, helping some of the hospital medical facility administrators running some of their meetings.
All right. So now you're not comfortable doing that. You still have a yearning in your heart to be something else, do something else, attack something else. And what was overcoming to you?
Well, I think that I knew that I wanted to still serve people in some way. But I knew that I wanted to be able to sort of strike out on my own, have my own independent thinking, ways of managing my professional life. Obviously, within the medical facility, you followed guidelines, worked with other administrators, coordinated with them. I still obviously find myself doing that now, but I knew that I wanted to do something a little more independent and using my skills of writing, thinking, researching, those kinds of skills I wanted to put to use still truly.
Well, I think most people think of lawyers as criminal lawyers and being in the well and all of that hard work that precedes the appearance before a judge or a jury. You know, I wouldn't mind getting in there and say, hey, this guy's not guilty because, but I don't want to do all that work that and hire all of the scientists and other people that are professional in some area that would help my client. But evidently, you'd be an asset because you like to do that reading and research and writing.
I do, and I know that my skills lend themselves to that. I do enjoy writing. It reminds me, actually, of the classics and poring over old ancient texts and thinking about what will fit in where to what's going on. How can I solve the problem? And hopefully even think about solutions that don't reach that level that we all think about when we think of attorneys, when we think of them in the courtroom. There are solutions before that moment. But, of course, you can't be afraid to get in there and have that solution as well. And
now, when you were thinking of going to law school after the health bit, now, law schools, were you familiar with many of them, or where did you end up in regards to going to law school?
Really, thinking about law schools began with talking with attorneys in the Savannah, Georgia area. And I remember talking to one and being struck by his idea of, well, if you don't have a specific law school that you have to go to, why not apply around and see if you get scholarships, where you might like to go, where you might like to see yourself then? I also just took it as a chance to think about trying out something new, exploring a new area. I've obviously been all over this nation, from Savannah to Minnesota to Ohio. And I ended up applying to the University of Arizona, down in the desert in Tucson, Arizona.
Had you thought about Mitchell? Had you thought about the U?
Thought about University Hamlin? Of Minnesota. I knew that that was on my radar, but I just kept applying around to places and ultimately settled on places that gave a nice big scholarship and were available to become a resident of that state and get residency tuition as well. So I was looking at state schools.
So how do you get residency in what city?
In Tucson.
Tucson.
In Arizona. Arizona makes it quite easy to become a resident there. You can become a resident within a year's time.
A year.
Or I think it's half a year, actually. But the University of Arizona Law School actually would apply back their residency tuition to anyone who ultimately became a resident. So it was quite simple to become a resident in Arizona.
Did you feel like you were cheating?
That's what it felt like sometimes. I remember they were telling us, you can come in through this loophole. I guess I just looked at it at that time as, well, this is a new legal loophole to learn about.
So how long did it take to study to get a license to practice in Arizona?
It was a 3-year program to study there, and then, of course, taking the bar exam, which can take months, studying just for that big, big test.
Do you know the difference between a lawyer and a guy that rides a Harley?
No, what is it?
You haven't heard this one.
I haven't heard this one.
Well, it's an original. I'm hoping it gets around. I want to hear somebody tell it to me someday. The difference between a guy that rides a Harley and a lawyer, one passes the bar, the other one never passes a bar. I'll give that to you, okay?
I like that.
It's a good joke.
Yeah, it is a good joke.
Just don't tell it in front of a bunch of guys in black leather jackets and chains.
Right.
1029 on 1080 Radio, KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota, friend you can count on. So it's a 3-year course, and you go, and did you pass your first time for the bar?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so now you got a license, and are you still single?
So I'm not at that point.
Okay, when did you get married?
So I got married right as I got out of law school. I didn't take the summer bar exam right after I graduated because planning a wedding and taking the bar exam, I think, would have been a little too much.
Now, was this wedding going to be in Savannah?
It was actually in Savannah, and we considered holding it in Tucson, Arizona, where we had some friends.
Is that where you met?
No, actually. We met online.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so a very modern way of meeting people, but it's becoming a very common way of meeting people.
Yeah.
It wasn't through a dating website or anything like that. It was just a social way to meet new people from all over the world, in fact.
That's the title of the thing, All Over the World?
No, the title is, now I'm trying to remember where exactly it was, but we met on this social chatting website, and you could meet people from all over the world.
And where was she from?
She was from South Africa.
Oh, okay. So did you go there to meet her?
Actually, she was the first one who was brave enough to come to, and I was living in Arizona at the time, so in a way, we did meet in Arizona for the first time as she stepped off a plane and came into the airport. But she was the brave one that did that, but we knew each other for about a year and a half in advance. We'd been talking.
Was your heart all flutter when she got off the... It was like, wow.
It was. Yeah. It was truly incredible to see her there in the flesh after having talked through Skype, through video cameras, through other... through our phones. That's how we had to communicate. But it was a great moment when she was able to step there and actually have that physical closeness, and we knew that we wanted that eventually, ultimately.
Now, was she going to go to school, or was she just there to meet you?
She was just there to meet me. I returned the favor by going to South Africa and meeting her family.
What city?
Cape Town, South Africa, so another coastal town.
So, did she meet your family while she was here the first time?
I don't think she did on the first visit, but we had a series of alternating visits throughout my law school career. So for that 3 years, we would take, whenever I would have a spring break, whenever she would have a summer break, we would come visit each other.
So the wedding was in...
It was in Savannah, and it was able to be a sort of halfway point for people living in Tucson and people living in... across the sea in Africa. She had family in Europe as well. And we all sort of collided there on the East Coast in Savannah, Georgia.
People actually boarded a transatlantic plane to come to Savannah?
Yeah, I remember you earlier talking about enjoying traveling and driving. I much prefer that as well to my 14-hour sometimes flights.
Yeah.
Those are not fun, but it was worth it to make those trips.
So did you have this big wedding, big beautiful gown and a train and all kinds of attendants and flowers and
we actually kept it pretty small to about 75 guests.
Guests, not attendants.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be something to have 75 attendants?
That'd be nice. Mm-hmm.
So 75 guests witnessed your marriage in a church. St. Olaf is Lutheran. I don't know if that had any impact on your dating.
We actually kept it in a small downtown historical home in Savannah, just to have that flavor of that Savannah historic aspect. I think the people from Europe and Africa appreciated some historic aspect to coming to America and being able to see that.
Did you have a sit-down dinner?
We did.
Okay. Dance afterwards?
We didn't have any dancing, but my wife and I actually put on a little skit for the people coming.
Singing or dancing or both?
It was more of an acting thing that involved sort of play acting our moments when we were on Skype together, all the way up to that moment we were finally going to truly live together and be together from that point on.
Did you have a punchline?
I'm trying to remember if there was any, like, moment in it that was a true punchline, but I remember some of the times that I was talking to her, we would have to navigate my roommates at the time that I was in an apartment with. And they would come in knocking, and they would say hello, and we had those same roommates be able to jump in and say hello during the wedding. So it was actually really wonderful.
Cool.
And it was sort of a history of our relationship that a lot of people didn't get to see. We were able to portray that for them in a lighthearted, fun way.
So what happened upon getting your license and passing the bar?
As soon as I received the good news that I had passed the bar in Arizona, my wife and I received the good news that she had been accepted at a position to go to Shattuck St. Mary's in Faribault.
Wow.
Yeah.
In what role?
She is a teacher. She's a history and English teacher there for their middle school.
So you were making the move based on her job?
We were, though we were thinking, actually, about leaving the desert. Apparently, I only do weather extremes, and I wanted to come back to Minnesota. Minnesota was definitely on the list of places, and when I heard about her applying for Shattuck St. Mary's, I knew that that was very close to a community that I'd be more than willing to come back to.
If you have a license to practice law in Arizona, what do you have to do to get a license to practice law in Minnesota?
Luckily, the test is still the same, actually.
Oh.
A lot of states are starting to adopt sort of a national-wide test. It's not nationwide yet, but it's starting to get there. I believe now half of the states do accept this uniform national bar exam.
So you're coming to Minnesota with a license to practice in Minnesota.
It was the score that I needed. I had to reapply again to be part of the actual passing of the bar. They needed to do the character and fitness portion of that, so I still had to go through all of those same hoops all over again in Minnesota.
And you passed.
Yes.
And so now you have a wife that's employed, and you have a license to practice law, and now you need a job.
Yes.
And you didn't have enough money to start your own practice, which would have been very challenging, being an out-of-stater.
Yes.
So did you just send out your resume for attorney offices to look at?
I actually started making connections at the Rice County Courthouse. I started working at the law library there and started becoming invaluable to some of the attorneys around there, and as well some of the community members that are looking and are very confused about various legal topics.
So you were hired by the county?
I was, just in a independent contractor capacity, so I would go into the law library.
Would you go in and help the prosecutor?
I would rarely help various state agencies, but when they came down, I'd help them find different books that they needed.
So Paul and John?
Yes.
You worked with Bowmaster and Fossum?
I saw them coming down all the time through the law library. Sometimes they would sneak into a courtroom that way. Sometimes they would be down there to talk to people. It's a quiet sort of place down there, and it's open for attorneys to have small meetings.
I've mentioned this more than once before. But since you didn't remember who your commencement speaker was, except that you had Clarence. Well, you know, John Fossum remembers his high school, his college, and his law school speakers that gave the address for the commencement. Did you know? Isn't that impressive?
That is impressive.
You want to know why?
How did he remember?
Well, it was Walter Mondale at all three.
Well, that does make it easier, but also a memorable moment.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. We'll be back and find out how we hooked up with the Grundhoffer Lüdescher Law Firm right after this.
Your home, auto, and life are important to you. That's why the Northfield Insurance Agency works hard to provide you with the right protection. Kevin and Stan offer the products you need with the premier service you deserve. They carry business, auto, farm, homeowners, commercial, and bonds. Northfield Insurance is your independent agent, and they're connected with many insurance companies providing you with the lowest possible rates. That's the Northfield Insurance Agency.
An evening of mystery awaits you. On Saturday, March 2nd, St. Dominic's School invites you to a historic event, the 20th anniversary of Saints Night Out. Join us for a masquerade ball and a fun-filled evening with live and silent auctions, games, raffles, and the opportunity to celebrate the history and future of St. Dominic's School. Contact the school today for more information. Saints Night Out, brought to you by Einstein Remodeling, Millersburg Construction, Benjamin Franklin Plumbing, Forget-Me-Not Florist, Homes of Distinction, and Chris and Mary Thurin.
We're back live and in color from our studios on Division at 2nd in downtown Northfield, right across the street from the Northfield Library. My guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair is David Estel, and David comes ends up in Northfield by way of Toledo, Detroit, Cincinnati, Savannah, and Arizona, Tucson, Arizona, and now he's in Minnesota as a resident and an attorney, and you guys got married in Savannah, and it wasn't a big Gone with the Wind type wedding.
No, it wasn't.
Is that where Gone with the Wind is?
No, I think that's set in...
Is that Atlanta?
Yeah, I think outside it's Atlanta. Of Atlanta, yeah.
But there's something about Savannah I just... want to see. I don't know why. I just want to. So you get you work down at the Rice County Courthouse, and everything comes through. You're now vetted, and you are licensed to practice law in Minnesota. Now, when you're working in the courthouse, you're working with a lot of different lawyers that come in from, obviously, Northfield, Morristown, Faribault, and Steele County comes in, Dakota County comes in. You got a lot of lawyers going through. Some of them may stop and want information. You got a government job. You can, I'm not suggesting coasting, but you got to, if you do your job, you got a job for life. I mean, it's not at the whim of any judge or anything. It's a civil position. And the pay is probably above average. So your wife's at a very prestigious school. And, you can just relax and go to work. You'd have the day off today. But you decide you want to go into private practice. Now, are you looking or seeked? Sucked?
Sought after. I think so. Yeah. Well, I was seeking at the time. I knew that I wanted to truly practice this profession that I'd been introduced to. Didn't get to talk too much about my time in school, but I got to see so many attorneys doing what they do. And they do so many various things. I wanted to wear all of those sorts of different hats as well. I was excited to get into the practice of law, which can mean so many different things, even within a day's time.
Mm. Well, so you're looking, and did you say I missed something about why you were in law school?
Oh, no. Okay. I didn't reflect too much on my teachers there or anything like that. But.
Well, you got 15 minutes left, so I want to get you local. Was there some main big deal that happened while you were in college or law school?
I'm thinking about just law school, and that I know that law schools are changing in a lot of ways. They're encouraging you to sort of push for experience. My whole final year, people think of as, once again, sort of coasting along in law school. You could choose to do that, or you could choose to throw yourself into various externships, internships, experiences, actually representing clients. And that's what I chose to do. And I think a lot of my classmates chose to do. I hope that a lot of people are going into this profession, are going to law school to provide that service ultimately to people. And I think they are.
And it's at no cost, generally?
Yes. A lot of those law school clinics envision themselves as low cost or completely
I love it when I read a story about an innocent man that is released from prison because of law school students' research and efforts. So now you were seeking a position as an attorney. Your wife works in Faribault. Where did you take up residence when you moved to Minnesota and Faribault, Northfield area?
So we've actually been put up by the school. For our first year, we were in a house that was on the Shattuck campus,
yep.
So near some of the dormitories. And it was just us two and our two cats. And that was sort of a big house for just two people. We weren't able to fill it up with furniture or anything like that. So, to fit us into a different sort of situation, they were able to ultimately put us in an apartment that's actually in a girls' dormitory at St. Mary's Hall. That presents some interesting issues. You occasionally hear girls screaming or yelling right above you. But it's actually sort of nice to be part of the community there. My wife has a commute to work of about, well, a few flights down. So she's able to go to her classroom very easily and avoid all of the cold weather that we all have to experience.
So you get the job at the courthouse, and now you want to practice law.
Yeah.
And you know you can't go out on your own right away. You know, a dream is to be the head cheese of a law office with 4 or 5 or 10 or 50 attorneys. So you went out looking, and did you have a preference to Faribault or Northfield or anywhere you can get a job in a prestigious firm?
Of course I wanted to find a job that lined up with my values, but I was, in fact, looking all over the place and sending my resume out to various places, but all within southern Minnesota. I've really come to enjoy this community, and my wife enjoys it as well. So,
where are you living now?
We are still living in Faribault right now.
In the girls' dorm?
Yep, still in that girls' dormitory. It's a nice apartment,
yeah.
But it always presents unique challenges. But you make an effort. You say hello to the girls. You say, how are you doing? And they know that you're supposed to be there, even though you're a grown adult in a girls' dormitory.
I imagine, like, yeah, I wonder if any parents would ever say anything.
I don't think they do. They know that actually there are a few spouses of teachers that live in the dormitory.
Okay. So you're not the only show in town.
No, I'm not the only show in town. There's plenty of people,
so,
actually.
You looked at the various individuals that then invited you for an interview. And one of them, of course, was Gunther Ludischer. So you go for an interview in their office?
I did.
Intimidating?
I'm sure it was to me.
Yeah.
Just the idea of my first true legal job at a firm. So
was Marv involved in that, or was he letting David handle it?
David actually handled the whole interview process, but
was he as nosy as I am?
I think he actually, he maybe not as nosy or asking direct questions, but he wanted to find out all about me. He took me out to dinner. He wanted to.
Where did you go?
I actually remember we went to the tavern.
Okay.
So we went down to the tavern, had a wonderful dinner with my spouse, his spouse, Nancy Ludischer, And we just really enjoyed and hit it off there, and it was becoming clear that that was a good place to be.
What is your spouse's name?
My spouse's name is Sophia Verily.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. So what did you say after Sophia?
Sophia Verily.
Mm-hmm. Oh, are you a hyphenated couple?
We're not, actually. She's had her professional name, and I have my professional name now. So.
Okay. Sophia, that is a pretty name.
It is.
Mm-hmm. You call her Sophie?
Actually, her family all calls her that. Her sisters call her Sophie, but I usually stick to Sophia. I call her by her full name.
All right. Mm-hmm. And so how long have you been at Lüdischer's? Grundhofer, Lüdischer.
Grundhofer and Lüdischer, I've been there for 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Yes.
And he fed you to the wolf.
I think it's been pretty pleasant here, actually.
Well, I'll tell you what we have to do. We have to remind people, our guest is David Estel, and as he just said, he's been in Northfield as an attorney for 3 weeks, living in Faribault. And any children yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. We have to remind people that coming up in just 9 minutes at 11 o'clock in a book inspired by your popular TED Talk, New York Times bestselling author Reshma Sojani empowers women and girls to embrace imperfection and bravery. Imagine, if you will, this. If you lived without the fear of not being good enough, if you didn't care how your life looked on Instagram or Facebook, or you didn't have to worry about what total strangers thought of you. Reshma is Terry Knight's guest today on 15 with the Author with her new book called, are you ready? It's a long title, Brave, Not Perfect, Fearless, Fail More, and Live Bolder. She discusses the myth of perfection and some strategies to get past fear and forge ahead into bravery. That's at 11 o'clock this morning. This would be a good book for people that would go to country day school in Savannah, because it's all about what do people think, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's all about pushing and pushing beyond those things, those limitations often we present for ourselves. But yeah, it would actually.
Okay, we're going to take final break, and we'll be back with David in just a moment.
Welcome home to Northfield Manor. On the campus of Northfield Retirement Community, Northfield Manor is proud to offer HUD Section 8 subsidized equal opportunity housing for adults 62 and older. Take advantage of all amenities on campus, including our state-of-the-art theater, Imelda's Marketplace, Fitness Center, Main Street Cafe, walking trails, and more. Call today, 507-650-7332. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation. Choice. Tradition.
Tackle your hunger the right way at the Quarterback Club in Northfield. Their juicy chicken, tender baby back ribs, and flame-broiled burgers are all made to order. For daily specials, quality food, and great prices, make it the Quarterback Club in Northfield.
Stop shopping around. If you're looking for a new or used car, truck, or SUV, look no further than Milo Peterson Ford in Kenyon. Peterson Ford has been independently family-owned for 3 generations since 1961, so decisions are made in-house. They see you as an individual, not just another sale, and are able to put you in the car that is truly right for you. Peterson Ford is Southern Minnesota's program car headquarters, featuring 1 to 2-year-old cars with low miles and warranties still in place for a fraction of the price of buying new. Milo Peterson Ford would like to invite you to the annual Carriage and Cutter Day Parade this Saturday at 1:30.
Should be a lot of fun. By the way, every time I hear about that, I have to think that years ago, when I was writing commercials for them, I always said, I got Milo deal at Milo Peterson. And I bought a 1968 Lincoln Continental four-door with suicide doors from them back in about 1973. And I still wish I had that car. Something else. David Estel, is there something about you that people don't know that you'd like to share with us on KYMN Radio as an attorney with the Grundhofer and Lüdischer Law Firm?
Well, there's plenty about me that you've heard about today. I'm sort of being reintroduced to the community. Honestly, I just want to let everyone know out there that I'm happy to be back, and I'm happy to be here to give back to a community that has given me so much.
And, of course, when he says he's happy to be back, he went to St. Olaf College for 4 years and specialized in Latin. Say a sentence in Latin, can you? See if I can understand
it. I could use a legal Latin term.
Okay. You can use them and see if I can figure them out.
Inclusio unius est exclusio alterius.
That means one for all and all for one.
Close there, but...
you've got to be included, and you can be excluded.
That's a little closer. It's the inclusion of one thing is the exclusion of the other.
Yeah. I just have to understand it. I don't have to quote it. Okay, give me another one. Yeah.
How about, this one might actually go pretty well. I think you might get this one.
I don't.
How about caveat emptor?
That means that you have to make an exception on your presentation.
Let the buyer beware.
Okay. What did I say? Make an exception on your presentation. Yeah. Okay. Let the buyer beware. That's a great law. So, have you been in the well? Have you actually defended anybody in reference to going up against a prosecutor on a crime?
So, I've actually done that, but that was in Arizona.
Did you win?
So it was sort of a mixed bag of a verdict. Some things got a not guilty, and some things got a guilty. So I count some of those as wins, but it was still difficult for the client.
Now, you indicated that you're dabbling, not dabbling, I shouldn't. You're thinking about family law, et cetera, and business law. You know, most people, when you think of attorneys, until you have to have them for various social like things, as you know, criminal lawyers. Has that been a desire at all for you?
Well, obviously, I'm at a general practice firm right now with Grundhoffer and Ludischer, and we do truly wear all sorts of hats in all sorts of different areas of practice. But one of those is criminal law, and I do obviously have some experience with criminal law. And it's always an interesting story to hear about what's going on in that aspect.
Have you had the opportunity to meet Tom Neville?
Yes, actually, I did meet with Tom Neville. I think David Ludischer and I sat down with him.
Heck of a guy.
Yeah.
Former judge. We had three judges two from Northfield, one from Faribault, a while back. Judge Jerry Wolf, whom I thought was a superb judge. Judge Bill Johnson, whom I played softball against, and he was a liberal. And then, of course, Judge Neville and Judge Bernie Berean, good friend of mine, retired, living out in Portland now. And I don't know any of the judges now. And I guess that's kind of good.
It's good that there are new judges coming in. And
well, here comes the question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not going to live in the girls' dorm the rest of your life. And you want some peace and privacy and perhaps like to own your own home. So when you do get to that position in life, and I assume that you're saving money for your first home.
Yes, we are.
Where are you going to look first?
Northfield.
Really?
We love the character of Northfield. We love the character and the characters of Northfield. It really does have a charm and an identity of its own that you can truly tell, even just coming through here.
And that might be coming a fact within a year or two, I would assume.
Yeah.
I mean, with the steep wages you're getting.
And yes.
Okay, we're going to be taking a break here and get to 15 with the author. I have a couple of things I want to say.